shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
Now over here is the Inglourious Bastards section, and over here are the people who made the movie.
He has more than a dirty mouth. He has a... Rahm Emanuel is son of the devil spy.
I am calling on every honest...
I felt my duty, and I still feel this way.
I am gay.
I am gay.
I am not gay.
Lesbian, lesbian, your mom's a lesbian.
The world famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch. And Alice in Wonderland, through the looking glass, trip through issues, news, talk radio, and maybe even how you feel about things. An anti-gay rights politician admits,
I am gay.
Anyway. That's coming up tonight. We also would like to say that we are happy to announce we're now heard live on the great KNEW 910 AM 7876 film. An awful lot to talk about on this evening's show. So much news that you just don't know where to begin. And much of it very pivotal, a lot of it very personal. We're going to be talking first off here this evening with a gentleman from Corona, California, who we have talked to before, and we have discussed with him his daughter and her school, which is the C.K. Corona Middle School. Mr. Stephen Bozell is with us. Sir, how are you?
Yes, sir.
And thank you for being back with us.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you having me on your program. Thank you.
And, sir, we have talked to you at length about your daughter's school, about what you have considered to be a certain kind of teaching that's going on at that school that sort of undercuts your own, I guess, your own tuition of your daughter, your own counseling and education of your daughter, your wife and yourself?
Well, you know, we're not at the point right now, we're not at any kind of a point where we would feel that the education my daughter's getting. We think we've got one of the best public middle schools in America. I think what I have found is in communicating with my daughter and communicating with her teachers in the school, we've come to realize that there have been many issues and issues relative to my daughter and issues that are relative to, I guess, society in general that we've been wrong about. And I think parents can stand to learn every bit as much as young people do.
All right. Well, here is a story from Chicago. The U.S. researchers estimate that an 18% tax on pizza and soda can push down U.S. adults' calorie intake. Now, this is a story basically talking about the taxing of soda and pizza to cut obesity that your daughter brought home as part of homework?
Yeah, there's a civics class that my daughter takes as part of her seventh grade, and Mrs. Llewellyn is the teacher. My daughter came home with this lesson on this tax to cut down obesity. And she was making a poster talking about how good it would be to tax soda and tax pizza and help the health of people. And all the kids had a project to do that.
All right, so your daughter was sent home with what homework?
Well, it was a project to make a poster or to make a campaign poster talking about the benefits of taxing soda and taxing pizza so that people are not that obese.
All right. Now, did you said something to your daughter, right?
Yes, sir, I did.
Tell my audience what it was.
Well, I pointed out to my daughter that I felt at that time I felt it was unconstitutional to pass a tax that punishes people, and that it would be unconstitutional to pass any tax on soda or on pizza or donuts or anything that would be there to punish obese people.
Now, it may be a matter of interpretation, but technically that's true, that it is unconstitutional to pass that kind of a tax.
Yeah, but here's the thing that I wanted to mention to you, Mr. Hendry. I had called my attorney because I had been summoned to my daughter went to school and told the school what I had said. She basically had told Mrs. Llewellyn, and she told Mr. Cockcroft, who is the headmaster at this school, what I had done, and that's when I received a phone call and went down there last week.
Well, did you call your lawyer at one point?
I called my lawyer because my daughter had said to me she's going to have to report what I said to the school, and I said, how can you report what your own father told you? And she said, because the teacher told us one thing, you're telling us something else. And you may be interfering with the teacher's lesson. I don't know, Daddy. And you know, I love my daughter very much.
No, so your daughter said she was going to go and call and tell the school what you had said, and that's when you called your attorney.
I called my attorney, yeah. Now, I never had to engage my attorney. That's probably something that I should...
Yeah, but I think it's worth listening to, and my audience should understand. You felt that you had the right to tell your daughter that a tax to punish people is unconstitutional.
Yes, sir, I did. But
hold on. And when your daughter said that that wasn't right, or that you were going against what this Mrs. Llewellyn said, that's when you thought about calling your attorney?
That's when I thought about calling my attorney, because I felt that when they called me and said they wanted me to come down for a parent-teacher meeting, I felt as if I was going to be put in a position where I may have to go against the school administration. But when I got to the school, I first spoke with Mrs. Llewellyn. I spoke with the headmaster, who is Mr. Cockcroft, and I went into the classroom.
And you went into your daughter's classroom?
Yes, I did. It was explained to me then that taxing soda and taxing pizza would help cut down on the obesity rate, and there would be healthier people in our country. And for me to say that it was unconstitutional was essentially for me to support people who are obese, who are going to die of horrible strokes and horrible heart attacks, and that I probably, the kids were confused. They wanted to know, did I think that was funny, or did I think it was a lot of fun? I told them, no, it wasn't. And I was very ashamed because...
What? Why were you ashamed?
Because the kids asked me...
Take your time.
The kids asked me, do you think it's funny to see a man die of a stroke, bleeding from his ears, bleeding from his mouth? I said, no, I don't. They said, then why would you be against a tax on pizza? I said, because it's unconstitutional. And that's when this young boy, Bradley, who I'll always remember, Bradley's about 11, and he's a very, very smart boy. He's an unusual-looking boy. And that's when he just sort of pointed at me, and he said, do you understand how you, even though you don't know it, you're going to kill people in our society? We have to tax these fats, as he called them, or they're going to bring us all down. And I, you know, thought about it, and that's when I said that I agree with them, so that's why I didn't need to call my attorney.
All right, so Mr. Bozell, you went from being in favor of telling your daughter that a tax on soda and pizza may be unconstitutional because it punishes people, and as soon as you went down to the school and met with the kids, you're in favor of it?
You understand, Mr. Henry, that the reason why I went down there is I wanted to tell these people off, and I came to find out that I was wrong and they were right. And the children, along with Mrs. Llewellyn, I didn't really know how wrong I was in the administration office of the headmaster. But when I went into the classroom and I talked to Llewellyn, I talked to these kids, and the kids told me, you know, that I was basically talking about how much I'd enjoy seeing a man die of a heart attack at the wheel of his car, and that I didn't care about people if that's what I wanted to see. And they said that the tax on soda and on pizza, while it may be technically unconstitutional, was what the country had to have to cut this obesity and this cancer of fat activity and all that out of our society.
And they convinced you.
And I asked them, and I have to tell you, they told this little boy named Bradley told me to shut up, because I'd asked a question. He then said, and Mrs. Llewellyn, they implied at one point that if I didn't support them, it's something that that child service would find negative, and I got scared of that.
Wait a minute. Are you telling me...
I just got scared of that.
Are you telling me that this little boy, Bradley, how old is he?
He's 12.
That he and the teacher said that Child Protective Services...
They didn't say Child Protective Services. They said Child Service, but I did get scared.
They can't call child services out because you said that you disagree. You have to understand, and I think that this is very important, my audience should understand this as well. Giving your daughter an alternate view of a lesson at school is not necessarily child abuse. Do you understand that?
I know that it's not, but the part where I said that it's unconstitutional, that could cause fat people to die of a stroke, and they said that I enjoy that, and I had to look into myself about that.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you enjoy the thought of people dying of a heart attack, passing out at the wheel of their car and causing an accident?
When I've seen it in a movie, and I have seen it in a movie, and I have to say that I did enjoy it in a movie.
But in real life, sir?
No, sir. No, I would not.
So I want to be clear. When you stood in front of the class and they said to you that you're wrong, that attacks on soda and pizza, even though it may be unconstitutional in your opinion, is what's needed to clean up the health of America.
Yes, sir.
And what did you say?
I knew that. In many ways, they were right. My daughter had tried to tell me she was making a beautiful poster supporting the tax, and I told her about this unconstitutional idea that I had, and she said it ruined her mindset. She had to go to school to make it. The children were very upset. The teacher was upset, and I don't. And so I thanked them. I thanked them individually. I thank Bradley especially. He's a very, very smart boy, and he said to me, "I'm doing this for your own good, Steve." He said, "I want you to get out of my sight." And I said, "Why would you say that to me?" He said, "Because I want you to be able to take that kind of criticism from a 12-year-old. And I looked at him and he said, "Now get out of my sight." And I left.
A 12-year-old boy told you to get out of his sight.
Yes, sir. But when I left, I knew that that was his way of saying, they have this figured out. They don't need me and my right-wing nonsense.
And do you consider yourself a right-winger?
Well, when I'm bringing up constitutional issues like that.
All right, well, I tell you what, sir, I'm going to take a break. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. We're talking with Stephen Bozell of Corona, California, about his daughter's 7th grade middle school class. They support a tax on soda and pizza to eliminate obesity. When Mr. Bozell pointed out to his daughter that taxes that punish people may be unconstitutional, she apparently went to her school, alerted the administration. This man's name is Mr. Cockcroft, is that it?
Yes, sir. Jack Cockcroft, or John, and the teacher is Marsha Llewellyn.
Marsha Llewellyn is the middle school teacher?
Yes, sir.
And they don't mind having their names used?
No, in fact, they said to me that they dared me, Mr. Henry, to go on your show and mention their names. I can quote what this guy Cockcroft said. He'd love it, is the way he put it.
Well, he doesn't sound like a very rational man. 877-876-PHIL is the number here on the Phil Hendry Show. So this man, in attempting to tell his daughter, well, you know, a tax on pizza and soda may be fine, but it is unconstitutional. His daughter went to school, told the teacher and the class, and he had to go down there and face his daughter's class. And at one point, that one little boy said, "Get out of my sight." 877-876-PHIL. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
I didn't think that was good for him to do either.
Phil Hendry.
L.A. police were able to extinguish most of the fires, but that didn't stop the crowd from growing increasingly rowdy and violent. And then get a load of what they were doing. People were taking pictures of themselves in front of bonfires holding looted stuff. In other words, a dude rips off some shoes, then takes a picture of himself. He takes a picture of himself committing a crime, and he puts it up on YouTube. Whoa, yeah!
Is it time for you to own your own business? Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care, is assigning franchises with protected territories across America at an affordable cost. Visiting Angels franchises send experienced caregivers to non-medical home care to thousands of adults nationwide, so they won't have to move into a nursing home. Call Visiting Angels toll-free at 877-374-LIVE. Look us up on the web at www.livingassistance.com. You'll receive initial training and years of ongoing guidance, including teleconference training workshops. Thousands of home care client leads are distributed to franchisees each month from national advertising on the internet and radio. Speak to our 300 franchisees to learn how this senior home care franchise has changed their lives. Call Visiting Angels toll-free at 877-374-LIVE. Look us up on the web at www.livingassistance.com. For a Visiting Angels franchise or home care for a loved one, call 877-374-LIVE. That's Visiting Angels toll-free at 877-374-LIVE, L-I-V-E.
Hi, this is Phil Hendry. You know, times are tough all over, and right here on Main Street, they're particularly tough. Our local businesses have been around for a long time, providing goods and services we need in this community. Some of them are suffering from this economic downturn, and it's time to give them a hand. I'd like to join the other hosts on this station to urge you to patronize our local business establishments. If we stick together, we will get through this tough economic time and in the end be stronger and better for it. Now, if you're a business owner and you want to reach my listeners with your message, call us now, 877-474-6605. The listeners on this station are loyal and patriotic. They'll support you. If they know who you are, call us at 877-474-6605 and let them know so we can put a plan together to help you. That's 877-474-6605. Radio works when you reach the right listeners, like the ones hearing this message right now. Let's work together.
As we age, our DNA, the building blocks for our body's health and wellness, gets damaged. That can make us feel tired and weak. We all need help to fix our DNA. Breakthrough. Now scientists have created Helix P51. You'll feel the difference. We're so confident Helix P51 works, we're giving away the first month's supply absolutely free. The next 100 people who order through our website, trydnanext.com, will get a free one-month supply of Helix P51. You just pay the $5.95 shipping and handling. That's a $70 value free just for trying Helix P51 at trydnanext.com and joining our focus group. Give your body the help it needs with Helix P51. Just visit trydnanext.com for your free bottle of Helix P51 and start feeling better now. That's trydnanext.com for your free one-month supply and start feeling the difference. Helix P51 has not been evaluated by the FDA and is not intended to treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
There's a lot of secrets in District 9.
Nominated for 4 Academy Awards, including Best Picture.
The course of human history has changed today.
Now you can own exclusive movie replicas and merchandise from the original artist designed and built at Weta Workshop in New Zealand. Now available, replicas of the arc generator and gas projector guns.
How do your weapons work?
We're coming to you from the entrance of District 9, the refugee camp set up to separate aliens from the general population.
Now you can own exclusive movie replicas built by the original artists at Weta's New Zealand workshop. Now available, replicas of the arc generator and gas projector guns.
It's definitely alien.
Go to wetanz.com. Check out all the District 9 items at wetanz.com. wetanz.com.
This is the world-famous Bill Hendry Show.
And we are here with Mr. Stephen Bozell, Corona, California. All right, look, your daughter goes to CK Corona Middle School, and you have been told by her class that to say that a tax on soda and donuts and pizza is unconstitutional, to say that, goes against the teacher's lesson plan, this Miss Llewellyn.
Yes, sir, that's correct.
By the way, has she weighed in at all, this teacher?
Teacher didn't do a lot of talking. The kids were able to do most of the talking. I really got to admire and really respect this boy, Bradley. He's a good boy, and I have a son, but if I had another...
This is the kid that told you to get away from him?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And you respect this child?
Mr. Henry, all the kids are saying is that a tax on soda and on pizza would be a good thing because it would lessen people wanting to eat that. And people who are obese and as the kids say, who are disgusting to be around and to look at. A lot of these children are telling me their own parents are disgusting to be with. And we don't want that. And so this tax might help that.
Sir, you've been threatened with Child Protective Services.
No, sir. No, I have not.
Yes, sir, you have. You told me last half hour that if you didn't agree with the kids in this tax, that they'd come and get your kid.
That's right. I would say that any parent who puts their child at risk is certainly should have child protective services. But I've never done that. Not so long as I observe not, you know, the tax on pizza. If I get so obese that my own daughter thinks that I am just horrific to be in the horrific to look at, then what good am I? But I do respect this little boy Bradley. He did tell me to get away from him because he doesn't want to be around someone that is going to look and smell the way a lot of these people do. That's all I'm saying.
What people?
We're talking about the fats.
The fats, sir. You know, and you haven't talked to the teacher.
I talked to the teacher briefly.
877-876-PHIL. Let's go to a phone call. On the line with us from Houston is Aileen. Aileen, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Stephen Bozell. Go ahead, ma'am.
Yes. Thank
yes,
you
ma'am.
For taking my call. Steve,
yes, ma'am.
I just have one thing to say to you. First of all, you were on the right track when you told your daughter what she's talking about is unconstitutional. And, you know, they have put taxes on liquor, cigarettes, everything on the planet, and people still use those things. All it does is drive the cost up. You know, when you talk about obesity, it could be health issues. It could be depression. It could be the fact that they don't have a lot of money and they eat a lot of pasta or dumb things.
I understand. But you're not as smart as my daughter and her class. The way you're talking now and the way my daughter's class talked, they talked way gooder about it than you are now.
Steve,
you don't sound as smart as her.
The little kid Bradley is an ill-mannered, rude little brat. And
My daughter passed me a note. She said that the lady you're talking to now should quit watching so much Glenn Hannity.
You mean Sean Hannity?
Yes, sir.
That's for this lady?
Yes, she says that it's rotting your old mind.
Have your daughter sit in another room. We don't want any notes from her.
My daughter wanted me to read this to the lady.
That's fine. We don't need that.
You know, Steve,
go ahead,
the
Amy.
Only thing worse than you're allowing these children, these ill-mannered little children, to boss you around is to pass a note from your ill-mannered daughter to me. I'm telling you, you were right to start with. It is unconstitutional. You can't punish people because they want to eat a piece of pizza. Okay?
Well, my daughter says,
My
daughter and her classmates feel that your mind has been rotted out. That's all they're trying to say.
That's got nothing to do with...
Steve, anybody's brainwashed here, it's you. And you are failing to be a good example for your daughter. You need to stand your ground, and you need to insist to these kids that you do know what you're talking about. If you need any reinforcement, go back to...
They
didn't set you straight.
You should let them set you straight, too, because you're calling them ill-mannered, but they set me straight on how to be... These children know so much more than we do. We'll never know what they know.
No, Steve, you're wrong. We'll never have seen
what they've seen.
Steve.
And the places they've been and the things they've seen.
What places have they been? They've never been anywhere. They may have book learning.
Where have they been?
The depths of their mind, the places that their mind has gone to. And
Steve, you're making
you don't want
up.
Me to say.
Steve, you're making
If I'm making
up.
Something up, if... I'm making up what you say. I'm paranoid.
It sounds a little bit to me. Yeah, sounds a little bit like you're paranoid.
Kids bully you. You have let these kids bully you. You have let them push you.
Boy,
you know you were outnumbered.
Let me ask you something. If a woman, if a person is so big and so fat and so disgusting, don't you think a child has the right to say, "Get away from me"?
Let me tell you something.
I think they do.
I had a niece come and live with me. She was very,
yes,
very
ma'am.
Large, okay? And
yes,
I told her, I said, darling, I said, we need to get the weight cut down. Now, my sister jumped all over me. She said, don't you talk to her like that. That's picking on her, and that's being mean to her. And I said, let me tell you something. The people that are being mean to her are the people at school, the people she is around all day long. Do you think they're nice to her because she's this big? But I set
exactly.
the girl down, and I said,
don't
but I set the girl
down. Don't you think we need
down.
A tax?
No, not a tax. You are
you get
wrong.
A tax, and that little daughter, that your daughter,
it
won't be the size
make
that she
any
is.
Difference. The money is not the
She's,
money.
It takes it after
isn't.
You.
My God,
you have a dog in this race, don't you? My daughter thinks. What is that, honey? My daughter thinks that you're 10 pounds of manure in a 1-pound bag. And
okay, you tell your daughter we don't want any more comments from her, all right? Thank you very much, Aileen. You've been very patient. 877-876-PHIL. No more what is that comment supposed to mean?
She passed me notes that she wanted me to say to that lady.
And you don't need to. You're an adult. You can make your own points with that woman. 877-876-PHIL, as we talk to Stephen Bozell about his daughter's middle school class and how they believe that a tax on pizza and soda will help cut down on obesity. When Steve told his daughter that it might be an unconstitutional tax, he was called to the school to basically talk to the teacher and to the class and get, quote, set straight. Here is Bill on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, you know, I'm from Texas, and I like to smoke. I already paid $2 a pack on cigarettes because people deemed it wasn't good for me. Okay, now they have people saying, if you eat pizza or drink Coke, it's not good for you, I'm going to pay extra. Now they put that tax on them. How many companies are going to go out of business? How many family-owned pizza parlors go out of business because people can't afford it? You know what? Why don't you put a tax on salad tortillas?
They go out of business, but you can't allow people to get the size that they're getting, and especially you, Spoken. We got to pick you up and put you in a box or take you down to the hospital. Who's going to pay for that?
Absolutely, my mom's a nurse. She's got to pick up these 300-pound lards, but you know what it is? It's exercise. It's common sense. It's not taxing anything.
But you know what?
Running.
What are you talking about, exercise? If you die, who pays for you going to the morgue?
Well,
if he dies,
you didn't work. You didn't work. You didn't exercise. You didn't progress in life.
Well, you're the guy. You're the guy that smokes, not me. I'm the guy that I'm not smoking, and I'm not doing none of that. You're smoking.
Wait a minute. Who smokes? Are you smoking, Bill?
I smoke cigarettes.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh, you smoke cigarettes. So, what is your question, Steve?
If this guy smokes cigarettes and he croaks or he has to go to the hospital, he ain't got no insurance. I gotta see. We're not even talking about that. We're talking about
I'm an American. I have a job. I have insurance. People need to have insurance.
Yeah, he's got insurance.
They need to speak English and they need to exercise.
Is it national health? Private insurance is no good.
You talked about a school. Whatever happened to the President Fitness Award when we were younger? Remember when we went to school? You had to go through a physical course and...
I'd much rather have a little boy come up to me and say, you know what, get away from me. You know, my daughter's teachers hate it. Say that again? My daughter's teachers hate it when you say you're an American because Americans are too arrogant.
Okay, well, you know what?
You shouldn't sit
there. What do you mean you're...
For me, I would have to tell his parents that he's a rude and ignorant boy and he needs to learn some manners. In America, we were brought up to respect our elders and respect
you shouldn't say you're an American because that's pissing off my daughter's teachers.
We don't care about your daughter's teachers now.
And you know what? If you voted for a tax, I hope they vote you out of whatever position you got in to vote for the tax. Because we're not worried about your daughter's teacher. I hope she's an American. I hope so.
She's an American, but my daughter isn't happy with the content of this call, Mr. Henry. So they want to know if you could edit it out after this interview.
This is a live call.
Does your wife?
My daughter simply says she doesn't like the content of the call.
I can't edit this. This is going out live.
And my daughter also said
you need to let your kid run all over you.
We should raise the tax on bourbon, otherwise, you know, you should be drinking moonshine. Otherwise, we're going to...
Does your daughter tell you that she's going to go out?
My daughter says she'll come home at 2 a.m.
How old is your daughter?
13.
2 a.m.? 2 a.m.?
You're a great fan.
You don't understand. Well, no, you don't understand. They know way more than we do.
All right. Thanks very much. Good call, Lara. I appreciate it, Bill. 877-876-PHIL. What is this thing? Your daughter, the teachers were not happy with the content?
No. We had received a phone call from one of the teachers saying that they did not like the content of that man's call. The other calls have been fine, and they want it edited.
Well, it can't be edited because this is a live interview.
Yes, sir. I understand that, but... Can you dump it or edit it?
No, I can't, and I won't. I won't dump any call or edit any call unless the content is somehow obscene or profane or violates decency. Here is Armando in Memphis. Armando, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Stephen Bozell. Go ahead, sir.
Going
Okay, this is a guy who's got his radio turned up too loud. 877-876-PHIL. Here is David in Wichita. Go ahead, David.
Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
Kind of stole some of my thunder. I think the fact that his daughter is up past midnight at 13 years old shows who is ruling the roost, number one. Number two, taxing food is a Band-Aid to the real problem. You know, 30 years ago, I was an obese child, and 30 years ago, they weren't taxing food. You know, I found the food, I overate, and it was mostly because of emotional problems, depression, and other things that I had was the reason. You know, and I think it's the broken homes today.
But, if
you
My daughter says it was there, too. My daughter says that you ate because the food was there in front of you. If it wasn't there, then you would have been depressed, but you couldn't have eaten to make it better.
Now, actually, I stole the food. So, you know.
You sold it?
I stole it. That's how much I was trying to cover up, you know, my emotional situation.
My daughter said it's pretty pathetic taking advice from a guy that stole brownies and cupcakes and everything.
Would you not read notes from your daughter, please? I don't want to hear from your daughter.
You're saying a 7-year-old boy who was taught how to steal by a neighbor, that it's pretty pathetic that a 7-year-old boy had a bad influence in his life? I think you'd better...
I think it's pathetic to be taking advice from a guy that stole Twinkies when he was... You know what I'm saying?
I think there's a lack of wisdom here. I think you're so afraid of your daughter not loving you you're willing to attach to anything that she believes. You know, you're going to give the government carte blanche to be able to attack anything that they deem as bad for us. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, let me say that I do have a note here from her. She says that closet case homosexuals usually eat their feelings.
And that's supposed to mean what?
I don't know. That's what my daughter wrote.
What did she say?
She wrote that closet case homosexuals usually eat their feelings.
Well, you know full well what that means.
I'm married with 3 children and 1 more on the way. So, sorry.
My daughter is pretending like she's laughing.
You know, Steve, I'm going to hang up now.
No, sir, please.
I don't want to talk to you as long as your daughter is running a commentary on this show, and that's an insult to my caller. Unnecessary. This man's called up to talk as a father.
Yes, I understand, but my daughter is probably a lot... I shouldn't say this. She's probably a lot smarter than his kids. You know, my daughter is a lot more powerful in so many ways.
My daughter is 8 years old. And she's on a fifth grade level. We homeschool.
Is she powerful?
Yeah, but is she as powerful as my daughter?
In what way?
In just controlling her father? Personality.
In controlling her father? No.
Yes.
No.
Yes,
no, no, not at all.
Hey, listen, her father.
Good answer, Dave. All right, 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We're talking with Mr. Stephen Bozell here. And we'll have more of your calls. Plus, tonight, Dan Rather makes an unfortunate watermelon anecdote about Barack Obama. But more of your phone calls here for Stephen Bozell and the issue of his daughter's middle school class saying that taxing sodas and pizza is a good thing, not an unconstitutional bad thing, and they talked Steve into it. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
With me is Stephen Bozell. Mr. Bozell, much of what we are discussing this evening here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, much of this has to do with a fear among some parents, and you know the fear, that there has been a liberal indoctrination or a political indoctrination of our youth as opposed to an education. I dare say that you might have been afraid of that at one time in your life. It sounds to me like you had some views that resonate with me as conservative.
No, well, Mr. Henry, understand, you know, pointing out that a tax may be unconstitutional is the refuge of a great many of these tea parties and everything. But I told my daughter after I'd been confronted by her class and told that a tax on pizza, a tax on, you know, donuts and everything would help with the obesity problem, I said to my daughter that I'm sorry that I didn't want her to call Child Protective Services. I didn't think she was serious.
She said she'd call Child Protective Services because you disagreed with the class on this this soda tax?
I don't know. She said to me, all it takes is you know, one push of the button, is the way she put it.
Push a what button?
On her cell phone. But please understand.
Boy, that to me is unconscionable, that any kid.
Well, the service director, please understand. The kids, they have taught me, sometimes you have to walk through fire to know how hot it is. When Bradley looked at me and told me to get the F away, use the F word, he said, get the F away.
No. That's wrong. That's wrong.
No, but sir.
No, that's wrong. No kid talks to an adult like that. Get the F away from me.
But he taught me, as our children can teach us, that what is pure and good and right sometimes comes from the lips of a child, and if we can keep America healthy, I don't care if I have to spend 10 years in jail on a trumped-up charge of molesting my own daughter, if it helped get the truth out.
That's not truth. That's injustice. That is injustice. Do you understand? 877-876-PHIL. Paul in San Jose. Go ahead, Paul. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Stephen Bozell.
Hi. Yeah, I was just going to say.
Yes, sir.
What was his name, Steve?
Yes, my name is Steve Bozell, sir. Yes, sir.
Steve,
how are you?
Good. How you doing? Good.
I'm very good. Thank you.
Yeah, you know, you need to learn something first, that history is in place for a reason. We learn from history. We learn from our past mistakes. We learn from our experiences in life. If you have a kid, that kid does not have experiences in her life. Yet, she needs to develop those experiences so she can get wisdom.
But there's
wisdom.
A purity, too,
wisdom comes
of the child,
from living.
Of the child mind. The child mind is pure.
No, she's not developed yet.
And the little,
she's learning. She's being programmed
mind.
Right now by that school that you got her in, dude. Hello, anybody home? Dude, we get our information from our history. The reason why they're trying
true.
To stop history in our schools right now is because they want us to forget about the socialism and the movement of communism.
My daughter just said that you using the word dude. So.
Okay, wait, stop it with the daughter, okay? I no more notes.
I can't do any more notes.
Okay, dude. What do you want me to call you,
I
sir?
I can't do any more notes.
Because you're acting like a little kid, so I call you dude, because that refers to the age that you're trying to live in. You understand
are
what
you
I'm
telling
saying?
Me the kids,
dude,
but the children,
you need
the children
to rise
are pure.
Up and
the
tell
children
your daughter
are pure.
She needs to get some experience and listen to you. And just put it, tell her she needs to listen to you, okay? You're her dad.
My daughter told me that curfews are oppressive and that they're a byproduct of a male-dominated society. And
oh, come on. Your daughter's 13.
Please don't interrupt. My daughter doesn't want you to interrupt me, sir. Please don't do that.
See, this is a joke. You guys are putting us on. This
you know
cannot
something?
Be. We have not gotten that
yeah,
far
absolutely.
Away.
Is this, Mr. Bozell, are you being serious with us?
If you don't think, you can call the school tomorrow. And
what happened to American
them.
Principles,
okay.
dude? Don't you realize
there you go with dude
in this country, and it's because of people like you, man.
Now you're saying, dude, to piss me off.
Okay, sir, it's because of people like you,
see?
Sir, that our country is in the pooper right now.
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Ever in the middle of all this coming at you think maybe one term is enough?
Roger, a moment ago I mentioned what Teddy Roosevelt said, and he was right on.
Tebow says it celebrates life. So what are people flipping out about?
If we can go and take inmates, for instance, the 20,000 inmates, that the illegal immigrants.
800-pound gorilla.
He's huge.
Burn in hell.
Hey, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. 877-876-PHIL, philhendryshow.com, and our Twitter, account is twitter.com/realphilhendry. Or if you'd like, you go to our show account, twitter.com/philhendryshow. So there's a couple of options over there at the Twitter page. And we're also on Facebook at facebook.com/philhendry. Vernon Dozier joining us from Belmar Academy. He's a educator there, a varsity football coach, teaches health and math, and is also on the administrative board there. It's a private school, and we're going to be talking with Mr. Dozier here about a couple of things. One of them had to do with the teen pregnancy rate up after a 10-year decline, and as well as just the general relationship between teens and teachers and teens and parents. And Vernon, how are you this evening?
It's always a pleasure to be with you, Phil. I'm very good.
You saw that headline, teen pregnancy rate up after a 10-year decline. Now, you did an experiment, did you not, in class today?
It was late last week I did the experiment. This is when I got the news that the movie Avatar had outperformed Titanic. And I was taken aback a little bit because I've always been interested in a couple things. Are kids, do they care about their teachers? Not so much do they care about their parents. We know kids love their parents, but do they care about their teachers? Do they care about their teachers enough to keep them from having a mental breakdown, let's say? Now, I may sound a little dramatic, but my students know that at one time I was an aspiring filmmaker. I used to make films when I was in college, and I settled on becoming an educator, so I sort of gave up a dream that I had to make movies. When I read that Avatar had outperformed Titanic, the first thought that came to my mind was, this guy James Cameron, this man is the luckiest man on the face of the earth. He has made two movies that make more money than some countries have. You know, the movies that he's made probably make more money than Haiti's got, if you think about it, Phil.
Probably, yeah. I mean, billions.
Right. So here's a guy who's an egomaniac. You saw him at the Academy Awards. He's a liberal from Hollywood. He's a egotistical narcissist who makes two movies that make more money than Haiti's got. And so the question that I had for my students was, do you think there's a God?
Do you think there's a God?
Do you think there's a God, yeah. And
why did you ask that?
Well, I asked that because I'm wondering if they think there's a God after a man like James Cameron can make all this money, even though he's an egomaniac, you know, and he's a member of the Hollywood liberal left, and he's just an ego case. And the fact that I wanted to be a filmmaker, and I'm now teaching high school, and I said that to my students. I said, look at James Cameron, an egomaniac. A guy who thinks that the sun rises and sets on him, no one else but him, and he's making all this money, and I wanted to be a filmmaker, and I'm here teaching high school. Do you think there's a God? So I asked the students, and they voted yes. And I said, remember what I told you. I wanted to be a filmmaker, and now I'm in high school. I'm teaching high school. James Cameron is a megalomaniac, insufferable I don't know how to describe the guy. He just thinks he's the greatest thing since canned beer, and he makes two movies that make more money than Haiti's got. And I emphasized Haiti to my students. I said, you know, Haiti is a country. That's an actual country. James Cameron has more money than Haiti. Do you think there's a God? And this time I had them do it by secret ballot.
All right, so the first vote was what?
First vote was a show of hands. They said, yes, there's a God.
Why did you do another vote?
Because I couldn't believe their answer, given what I had just said to them. This ego-driven, craven James Cameron.
And the fact that you wanted to be a filmmaker and you didn't become one, you were a high school teacher, what's the message there?
In other words, is there a God that would ruin the dream that I had to be a filmmaker and stick me in a high school and would elevate a craven, a debauched individual like James Cameron with two hit movies?
Well, we don't know that Mr. Cameron is craven and debauched.
The guy, you know, he's an ego case.
Perhaps, but let's just. So you asked the students, and then what did they say?
On a time they said, yes, we believe there's a God.
So two times the kids vote, yes, there's a God.
Yeah. So I said to them, yeah, I'm going to get the truth out of you, whether we have to stay late. And
well, what made you think you're not getting the truth?
I can't believe that these kids are going to push me ever closer to a mental breakdown by telling me there's a God while I'm stuck teaching high school and I wanted to be a filmmaker.
So what was what's the essential point of this exercise?
Hold on. So we did a third vote, and for the third time, they said there's a God. And I held the kids over late, so I said, all right, go home. I got called into the administrative offices the next day. I went in. I talked to Bill Witcher, who is our principal, and I said, what's the problem? He said, I understand he kept the kids late yesterday, and you were asking them, is there a God? And they kept saying yes, and the parents are upset. I said, I want to tell you something. You've seen the teen pregnancy figures. You know that these kids are walking a moral tightrope. I said, yesterday, they wanted to push me over into the abyss of a mental breakdown. And he said, why? I said, because I told them that James Cameron is making all this money, and yet I am teaching in high school, and they still think there's a God.
Did he know what you were talking about?
Yeah, he knew what I was talking about. I mean, he looked puzzled at first, and then he said, he asked me to take a couple of days off, and I said, oh, you think I'm crazy? He said, no. And so I did take a couple of days off, but I came back, and I said to him, I am mentally sound. I'd like to go back and I'd like to talk to my students again, because I can't believe that they do that to me. And he said, take another couple of days off.
When did you finally go back to school?
When I agreed not to have any more polls on whether there's a God or not. And I have filed a grievance with our teachers' board.
So you really feel that your students should have been taking up more on your side and saying there isn't a God?
I was saying that if Vernon Dozier, who wanted to be a filmmaker and instead was forced to be a high school teacher, and James Cameron, who's an empty windbreaker who's made more money than anyone could possibly imagine on two bad movies, how can there be a God? And when the kid said, there is a God, then I had to conclude it was a slap to my face and an attempt to drive me to nervous exhaustion and a hospital stay.
And are you that much on the edge, man?
In what way?
Well, what way? You're telling me that you were asking the kids, is there a God? And they kept saying, yes, there is. You wanted them to say no.
I think that's a logical conclusion.
Well, hold on. A logical conclusion maybe for you. But if they're saying, yes, there's a God, even though you are teaching high school and you're not a filmmaker, if they're saying, yes, there's a God, even though James Cameron made all this money on Avatar and Titanic, and if they're saying, yes, there's a God, even though it may drive you to a nervous exhaustion mental breakdown, then that's what they think.
No, they do that because they want me to have a mental breakdown. Look at the numbers on teen pregnancy.
What's that got to do with it?
It shows the morality of our young people. Teen pregnancy up after 10-year decline. The morals of our young people are beginning to sink. That includes going out and getting pregnant and possibly driving a history teacher, a health teacher, and a teacher that both of them respect, driving him into a hospital bed with straps on it.
So it's the morality of the kids.
That's exactly right.
That they want you to have a nervous breakdown. Vernon Dozier is well. He is basically drawing the conclusion that today's kids are less moral than ever before. And one of the reasons he says that is that he feels his students are trying to drive him to a nervous breakdown by saying James Cameron deserves his success and Vernon Dozier, he deserves being a high school teacher. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL. More with Vernon Dozier up next here on the world famous Phil Henry Show.
you made it sound stupid.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, Phil, you did. And I'm not that dumb.
Now, why am I looking at Channel 4 right now putting perfectly good bud into a frying pan?
Oh, my God. They're taking the best buds and they're going to cook it up.
Is this some kind of stupid how to cook marijuana show? Get out of here, man. First of all, make it legal, then show us how to cook it.
Phil Hendry Show.
Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Every night here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. We have Vernon Dozier joining us, a educator from Glendale, California, teaches at Belmar Academy. This is not a religious school you teach at, is it, Vernon?
No, it's not. It is a private high school, but it's a secular school.
But you have religion classes?
We have classes on philosophy. We have classes on spirituality. But we are not run or owned or otherwise administered by a religious group. We do have classes on, as I said, family. We have classes on spirituality. We have classes on comparative religion. But I had to tell my class that there is no God. And that's what, of course, got me in trouble with the board. But you have to understand...
You told your class there is no God based on the fact that you never got to be a filmmaker, but James Cameron did.
It was not quite that simple.
All right, it was based on the fact that James Cameron got to be not just a filmmaker, but a highly successful one, even though he is a blowhard and an egomaniac.
And he's a bore, and he's a craven idiot. And I never got to see my dream realized as a filmmaker, even though I work hard and I care about people. And I told the kids, there's no God. And they come back with, yes, there is.
And so the teachers didn't want, the parents didn't like you saying there's no God.
Yeah, but guess what? It's a private school. So, you know.
Well, I understand that's probably what saved your job. But the fact is, you telling the kids there's no God based upon this philosophy, and when they didn't agree with you, you kept them after school. It seems like the parents had a beef there.
Look, I tried to tell these parents that their kids would rather see me in a psychiatric hospital than cop to the fact that there's no. I just told them that James Cameron is a blowhard, egomaniac bore. And they're coming back with, yeah, but there's a God. And so, Mr. Henry...
Well, you also worked in the teen pregnancy thing, which you say is also indicative of low morals among our young people.
Absolutely, and that's what I told the Bill Witcher, who's our headmaster. But for the parents to come back on me and say, how dare you keep our kids alive, I said, I kept them late because they're trying to put me on a... They're trying to put me in a room... where there's no furniture, just padding on the wall. And I will not, I won't let that stand.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to a phone call we have on the line here in Virginia. Rachel, calling. Rachel, you're on the air with Vernon Dozier. Go ahead, ma'am.
Hi, I'm just dumbfounded at the fact that this gentleman thinks that his life is based upon teen pregnancy, and the whole fact that he didn't have a film career is because of a teen pregnancy rate that's gone up.
Well, I mean, that's indicative of young people. Their morals are not there, see? And when I say to my students, do you think there's a God, even though I was robbed of a career as a filmmaker, and they say yes,
okay,
that
maybe
shows
you
me
look
another...
in the mirror. Maybe you need to look in the mirror.
Okay, I can look in the mirror. I can look in the mirror.
Maybe you were robbed of a film career because you weren't any good.
Maybe I was robbed of a film career because I'm not any good, which I don't think is true because I think I am good. Or maybe I was robbed of a film career because there's no God. And that's what I asked my students to consider, and they wouldn't even consider it.
But God didn't have anything to do with the fact that you weren't any good.
How do you know?
God didn't have anything to do with the fact that you weren't any good.
didn't God make us?
Well, now, wait a minute.
God created
Do you believe in God, Vernon?
No, I don't.
Well, then what do you mean, didn't God make us?
Right, exactly.
No. Here's what I'm saying.
Exactly. Then you have to go back to the Darwin theory that we all come from the apes, right?
No, you can believe in God and still believe in evolution. But I don't believe in God. Listening to you laugh, I certainly do believe in evolution, though.
Well, what is that supposed to mean?
Because she sounds like a monkey when she laughs, to be honest with you. And to be honest with you as well, Mr. Henry, my students don't care whether I'm put in a hospital and pumped full of Thorazine because of a nervous breakdown.
I just think it's humorous that I have a 13-year-old daughter, and she's not pregnant, and she does believe in God. And she would find you humorous. That also,
right? Exactly. Yes, she would, because she doesn't care if I go.
Because you are working as a teacher, that you don't have a film career, probably because you aren't any good. Because she's extremely smart.
No, your daughter wants to see me. Your daughter would laugh at me because she wants to see me in a psychiatric hospital.
What does that mean? I want to know what does that mean exactly?
It means, if I wanted to be a filmmaker and I didn't get to be one, and James Cameron, who is a immoral, loud slob, gets to make all that money on Avatar and Titanic, do you think there's a God? I don't think there is. And yet that young daughter of this woman, she would insist there is one until I have nervous exhaustion.
Until you have nervous exhaustion?
Yes.
And you go into a mental hospital?
Yes.
I just think that's ridiculous.
You know, Henry, I've been on your show a lot. You can laugh all you want.
Well, come on, man. I mean, that's a stretch.
I just think it's ridiculous.
Hi.
Absolutely.
What?
I think it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I've heard you say it, but you can't argue against the point I'm making, the logic of the point.
Well, you walked into the classroom, you said to the kids, there's no God. When they disagreed with you, you kept them after class, which meant they were late for school or late to get home, which caused the parents to get involved. That was your mistake.
I'm glad that my daughter doesn't take your class. I mean, I would have a problem
your
with
daughter,
that as a parent.
I wouldn't
as well.
Take your daughter. I would not take your daughter in my class because you've already marked her as a kid that wants to drive me into a mental ward. So I would
she's
not take her.
She's actually in gifted programs. She's very smart. She's in.
Oh, that's
history.
Fine. But you already said
she's not pregnant.
She'd laugh. No, I know.
She
but you already said she'd laugh at me. She'd laugh at me and my film aspiration.
No, she's probably
so that means you're not going to have her
for you because she's a very compassionate
right.
child.
Very good. Rachel, thank you so much for your call. 877-876-PHIL. So, in other words, you wouldn't have the kid in your class. Why?
I'm not going to have that woman's kid in my class if that child is going to laugh when I say there's no God because of where I am as opposed to James. You know, I know you understand what I'm saying.
I understand what you're saying, and I know that you were trying to give a lesson to the class in terms of, I guess, God or religious belief or anything, but it seemed to me you pulling yourself into it confused the issue. Kimberly in Washington, D.C., you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, Kimberly.
Good morning. Hey, listen, you know, I wanted to be a movie star. I'm not. I'm so furious. I'm just so mad. First of all, these kids cannot control your life. If you end up in a crazy room, you end up there. Their morals are their morals, and their beliefs are their beliefs. You cannot impose beliefs on these students, regardless of your shortcomings in your life, and regardless of him making money.
Do you think
that's the bottom line? I work in the schools, and I am not going to impose my beliefs or my shortcomings on a student.
Do you see how you and I? You see how you and I got robbed? You wanted to be an actress. I wanted to be a filmmaker.
You know what?
We might have worked together.
I have four beautiful children.
But these kids robbed
I work in the schools. You know what? It didn't happen. Big deal. I moved on. I do not begrudge someone else's ability and wherewithal of being
you
able
moved
to
on.
Succeed.
Even though you and I could have worked together someday.
No, oh God, no!
On.
That would have been absurd.
Yes, it would have been fantastic. I would have known what you mean.
Phil Henry.
Where'd she go?
World famous Phil Henry Show.
That's what I want to do.
All right. Vernon Dozier with us, an educator from Belmar Academy in Glendale, California, as we talk about teen pregnancy, the relative morality of teens from one generation to the next. You've been talking about how you feel the teen morality, the teens today, their morals are getting worse because of your career aspirations as opposed to James Cameron. They have no sympathy for you.
It's not that they don't have sympathy for me. The fact that I wanted to be a filmmaker and God instead, this God they believe in, the God that the kids believe in, God blessed James Cameron a bag of air. He's air. There's no clothing. It's just air. So God blessed a patch of air and gave it money. And me, I'm teaching high school. Now, Mr. Henry, as I said to you during the break, and you took grave exception, I'm going to say it again. I'm as close as any white man in this country is going to get to being black and Haitian.
And I find that comparison to be unseemly.
Hold on for a minute. A building collapsed on me, too. A building called the Teens of America, the morality of teens, collapsed on me and crushed my dreams.
And teens didn't crush your dreams.
No, but when they say that there's a God, and I know there isn't, and so let me tell you, there's no clean drinking water in my world, and I don't have, and there are dead bodies stacked high, the dead bodies of my dreams. Those are my dreams, and I'm going to have to put petroleum on them at some point and light them on fire, and the stink, and that'll set you free. The stink of my dreams burning. Now, that's what I try to impart to my students.
And being teenagers, I don't think they understood.
It's my duty as a teacher to impose my beliefs on my students if my beliefs are true.
I don't see it that way, man. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to a phone call here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We've got Doreen. Doreen, you're on the air with Vernon Dozier here on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead.
Hi, Mr. Dozier.
Yes, ma'am.
I just got in my car and just tuned in where you were saying that it was God's fault that you weren't a filmmaker. And then,
I asked my students, could there possibly be a God when he allows James Cameron, who is just air with a jacket on it, to be wealthy, and me, I'm teaching high school. Is there a God? My student said yes, and I said, well, I'm here to tell you, no, there isn't. That's what I said.
Okay, so you believe that God allowed James Cameron to make those two films?
No, I believe there is no God, because if there were a God, James Cameron would never have the success that he has.
Hmm. Okay, that's a little different from what you were saying.
That's what I'm thinking.
No, that's exactly what I said.
No, you said that God smiled favorably on James Cameron and not on you.
Did I ask my students if there was a God?
Well, yes, you did.
And that's what they said yes, and I said no, there isn't. And I've told my students no, there's no God. Okay? Now, as I mentioned at the break, I don't mean to offend anybody, but I am right now sleeping on the driveway of my failure, while the house of my dreams has collapsed because there's been an earthquake in the Haiti/Vernon Dozier world.
Yeah, I got the whole thing about you being black and Haitian, and I don't think that anybody is going to relate to that. And I think it's an unseemly comparison given the suffering of those people.
I'm not saying that I'm suffering the same way. I'm not saying I'm suffering the same way they are. I'm saying that if drinking water was a dream, mine is full of fecal matter.
Oh, that's great, man. That's a great thought.
Well, I'm just trying to give it to you straight.
Well,
okay,
I have a question.
Go ahead.
For Mr. Dozier.
Who's this?
This is Doreen.
Oh, I thought she hung up.
No.
Go ahead, Doreen.
I'm wondering, why do you feel like your dream of being a filmmaker is over?
Because I've seen
time and time again that people have dreams, and I've seen a man on Oprah that was 93 when he started school to learn to read and write. And I've seen a man that was barefoot skiing, and he didn't start skiing until he was 80. You know, and he was 83.
Well,
he was barefoot skiing.
Yeah,
I'm just saying.
Great.
I still think that you can fulfill your dreams of being a filmmaker.
I understand that, but Doreen, the problem with Oprah is Oprah has faked her guests for years, and those are actors, and so she has.
You can't say that.
They're all phony.
How to read? I've taught a 50-year-old man how to read, and he had given up on that dream many years ago.
You taught a 15-year-old man how to read.
A 50.
Did you teach a 15-year-old man?
No, a 50-year-old man.
But no, I'm asking, has she ever taught a 15-year-old man?
That's not a man, that's a boy.
Like a 15-year-old and a 50-year-old.
Boy.
Was it a man?
It was a boy.
No, I taught a 15-year-old boy and a 15-year-old man.
She specified. The 50-year-old knew how to read. He was lying. Do you think that he was lying to you?
No, he did not know how to read.
Can I ask you a question? I know. I don't mean to be rude. Do you think the 50-year-old lied to you because he wanted to get you in bed?
No, I don't.
What kind of a disgusting question
no,
would
don't.
You...
No, it was my what? Boyfriend's I'm, uncle.
I'm, all the more reason to ask the question.
Okay, all I'm saying
Doreen,
is...
Yeah,
feel like your dream is over?
Because of all the stories you just told me about 50-year-olds on Oprah, I know it's over. So you've just depressed me more.
No, you know something, Doreen? Outstanding phone call. I appreciate it. And I think it's a very good question. Let's move on here to Roy in Pennsylvania tonight. Roy, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Vernon Dozier. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hello. I'm just going to make a statement here and hang up. I don't need any discussion on this. This is just my opinion. But if I was one of those parents that's paying to have their children go to his class, I'll guarantee you my son and daughter would not be in class tomorrow after listening to this for the past 45 minutes gone by, because that man has some problems, and it sounds to me like he's blaming it on the kids in his class because they disagree with him. And that's not how it should be, and I'll leave it go at that, and you have a fine day.
Right.
Bye-bye.
Well, you wouldn't get your money back, that's for sure.
Okay, he hung up.
Of course he hung up, because he knows that I was going to defeat him in any argument. And where he's wrong is, I'm blaming the kids only for the following. If they know that I am near nervous exhaustion and I'm about to lose it, and they still say there's a God, then that proves they want to see Mr. Dozier drop to the floor, go into the fetal position, convulse, cry for his mother, and laugh as an ambulance takes him away. I don't think that's the kind of young person that we want to raise in our world today, at the place where we live today right now.
Very pretty, Mr. Dozier, very pretty.
Thank you.
However, you still have not made the point that that's what those kids wanted to do. It sounds to me like all they wanted to do was say, yes, we do believe in God.
And you're not listening.
I'm listening to everything you're saying. Carrie, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Vernon Dozier.
Hi. I don't really know where to start with this guy.
No, I'm saying, if you misunderstood me, Mr. Hendry, I said that the kids knew that I wanted to be a filmmaker, and they still say there's a God, even though I'm sitting as a high school teacher and James Cameron's walking around with 19-year-olds.
Can I ask you a question?
Carrie, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead, Carrie.
Yes, ma'am.
How long have you been a teacher?
I've been a teacher for this is my 17th year.
Your 17th year. And have you always...
10 years as the high school varsity football coach, and we've won 9 division championships in that time, 3 league titles.
All right, so because you couldn't make it in a film career, you have now, quote-unquote, settled for being a teacher. Is that...
Yeah,
am I correct?
Yes, that's correct. But what you aren't saying is that, James Cameron... Okay, go ahead. But an ego case like James Cameron, you say he made it?
Yeah, you're saying he made it. He made all that money.
Yeah, I definitely think he did make it. And, I'm all for open discussion about evolution and God and everything in the class, but you, as a human being, you have to be open to other people's opinions. And especially kids, like discussing something with kids is one thing. Telling them this is the way it is, and this is, you can't do that.
You always tell a kid how it is. Wait a minute. You always tell a kid. Do you argue with a kid about whether they stick their finger in a light socket? Of course you don't. You tell them you don't do that.
There's a big difference between that.
There is no God. If I'm sitting here looking at your faces when James Cameron is around a fire pit at Jeffries in Malibu, see?
If there is no God, what does that even have to do with anything? What happened to you? If there is no God,
the whole thing about there is no God is based on your shortcomings.
No,
why did you decide to give up? If you wanted this so bad, why did you give up and settle to be a teacher? If these kids are so crazy, why are you a teacher?
But
you
I would rather the kids not
you
be.
You are doing such a disservice.
I'm fine
to
with
children.
It, but my kids, I'm fine with it as long as my kids aren't being encouraged to drive me to a mental. You know what a mental breakdown is, right?
A complete mental breakdown. I'm pretty sure that you should probably apply for some sick time because you are not right. You are not
my
right.
My kids, ma'am, I think that's
if
very
you
unfair.
Cannot,
my
if
kids
cannot,
are trying to drive
can,
me.
If you cannot handle having a debate with kids, if you cannot handle having kids tell you their opinion, you shouldn't be a teacher. You shouldn't be anywhere near kids. In my opinion, you need to apply for some sick time, take some time off.
Can I tell you something? You know who my wife is? My wife.
I don't care who your wife is.
I'm 53. My wife is 20. I married her right after she graduated. My wife used to be in my class, and I married her right after she graduated from our high school. That's how well I understand young people. And
what does that mean? What is that supposed? What is that supposed to mean?
Children. She was
18. She was a legal adult. She was 18. A legal adult.
Well, so what, man? So you married her, and that proves you know something about kids.
That was the one high school student I met who didn't want to put me in a padded cell.
All right, well, thank you very much, Carrie.
You can't let her go off. She just called me some kind of a name.
No, she didn't. She just gave an opinion. Let's go remote to Dan. Dan, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Vernon Dozier. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. My problem is how he's blaming this guy for his lack of success.
Who, James Cameron?
Why are you doing that?
Because James Cameron has no right to the success he has based upon... Huh?
Why?
Because he's a big mouth? Because he's talking about greedy
is
and everything?
I would have been way better. Are we in the fifth grade?
I'm in California.
No, he's saying... Yeah, I'm
in Glendale. I don't understand. I'm in Glendale, California.
All right.
So this guy Cameron, who gets to be wealthy... And meanwhile, I made a cartoon once that was very funny. And when I showed it to some people at a local TV station, they said, yes, it's funny, but it contains references to cat excrement, things like that. And I said, but it's groundbreaking. And they said, yeah, but we can't do it because it's got too much. It was very funny, Phil. It was about a cat box.
Yeah, but that's not going to be on television.
But it was funny.
That might be funny, but you're going to have a cartoon about a cat box?
Here we go.
No, not here we go, man. This is something everybody's got to live with. You can't have a cartoon that's scatological that contains that kind of stuff. All right?
Well, the fact is it's better than anything that Cameron made. And it was about a cat box. Not about the Titanic and not about Avatar. About a cat relieving itself in the morning. I think it's unfair. I told the students that. And if I have to take a leave of absence and be in a psychiatric facility, I'm happy to do that. But I blame the parents of my students, I blame the administrative board of Belmar Academy, and I blame God, who I don't think exists. A very pleasant good evening, sir.
Okay, thanks so much, Dan, and thank you all, and I guess he hung up.
Yep, line's blank.
877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
A very pleasant good evening.
Famous Phil Hendry Show.
And our number is 877-876-PHIL. And if you want to hear a download you can, of our show, if you haven't heard the whole show, you want to hear the whole show, you can hear the whole show tomorrow. You can go to our website and you can download the entire thing, baby. In fact, I'm looking at our homepage right now. And you can go over there and we have three little clicks there. You can download the 3 hours of audio and you can watch the 3 hours of our video cast as well. And we have a 5-day video archive. Go to philhendryshow.com for all the details. Boop. And by the way, we have a redesign. We'll be launching our new site soon, which will include a news feed, which will also include video and photographs. So you'll be able to stay in touch with the inner workings, the machinations, the insanity, the reality that is The Phil Hendry Show, and it is a madhouse. There's no question about it.
Yeah.
Thanks, bud.
Yeah.
In any event, don't get, you know.
Yeah,
you
don't be a comedian, man. Yeah. All right.
In late October, Newsday, the Long Island newspaper, they put their website, Newsday.com, behind a paywall. Now, this was in late October. They said, let's make our website a subscription service. And people will pay money to look at the news on our website. And this is the model the New York Times wants to go with. And frankly, it's a model that we use on our website, although our website, we charge $6.95 a month for 30-plus shows, actually 60 video and audio shows. I mean, the bang for your buck you get on our website is fantastic. And we have a nice number of subscribers on our website, okay? Because we know what we're doing. Now, here's Newsday. Newsday decided they were going to put their website behind a paywall. The paper was one of the first non-business newspapers to take the plunge by putting up a paywall, so in media circles, it's been followed with interest. Could its fate be a sign of what others, including the New York Times, might expect? The New York Times is going to go and go to a subscription model as well. 3 months later, how many people have signed up to pay $5 a week? That would be $20 a month, right? For the Newsday service. Or you could get it for $260 a year to get unfettered access to Newsday. You know how many people? 35.
What? They got millions and billions out there. You're kidding.
No, I'm not kidding. 35 feet Newsday, Long Island. I mean, you're right. There's millions of people that live out there. And they got 35 people to subscribe to their website. The astoundingly low figure was revealed in a newsroom-wide meeting last week by publisher Terry Jimenez when a reporter asked how many people had signed up for the site, and he said he didn't know the number off the top of his head, so he asked a deputy sitting next to him, and the reply was 35. Michael Ammon, who's a social services reporter, asked for clarification. He said, I heard you say 35 people. Is that number correct? And Jimenez nodded. The website redesign and relaunch cost the Newsday company, you know how much? $4 million. $4 million to redesign and relaunch their website. 35 people. That's $9,000. Now, I am not one to glory in the failure of others. Honest to God, I'm not. There is a profound disconnect, I think is the word that people use these days, a profound disconnect between the Newsday expectations and what they got for a $4 million site redesign, 35 people. And one of those things is, and they've admitted it, is the access people have to it by way of Optimum Cable and some other things. So you've got to sever your connections, Newsday, with every other server and every other entity that's carrying your website and start all over again and make this thing exclusive to your subscribers. All right. The Democrats slam the brakes on health care. We'll preview tomorrow's State of the Union address, 877-876-PHIL. Be back, the world-famous, groundbreaking Phil Hendry Show.
Shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Well, you wonder, you scratch your head and say, why is the president throwing a bone to conservatives who screamed?
They are ordinary Americans who have led extraordinary lives.
Things are bad.
I hate sex toys.
And just pretty gay.
World famous Phil Hendry Show here. Boy, have we got action. We got action on the air, off the air. If you watch our video feed, you're watching a reality show. I'm telling you, if you watch the video feed of our show, if you don't have the video feed of our show, you're missing like three quarters of the show, it seems like, tonight. Ordinarily, you're watching, you know, if you're watching our video feed, you're getting the whole package. But tonight, it seems like we have had stuff going on off the... We need to, you know, like the man said, I can be a guy or I can switch. Bull crap, and I'm flipping out. And Maria's calling me on one of the lines, and Jason's trying to call the other line, and we are in the middle of hell. All right, anyway, but we got it all figured out. You got to get the video feed of this. Can you turn that gay stuff off, please, bud? I don't like that as bumper music anyway. 877-876-PHIL is our number, and this is the only news, talk, and entertainment show on the planet Earth that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and where we turn it all upside down, man, every night. And you can give us a call, as I mentioned, 877-876-PHIL. Go to our website, philhendryshow.com. Watch the live streaming video audio of the show every single night. You can hear the audio download the next day. You can download it to your iPod the next day. You can also see the video archives, a five-day video archive. We have archives of this radio show going back now some 13, 14 years. We've got material even going back further than that. Our website has been called one of the funniest on the web by PC Magazine. It's the Phil Hendry Show website. Do it today. And we got our friend Ted Bell who's going to be joining us tonight from Ted's.
Ted's Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come on down.
Hey, everybody. Ted here. Ted's of Beverly Hills sponsoring this portion of the Phil Hendry program. And I've got a little food for thought, if you'll pardon the pun, for you and Phil tonight.
Here at
I like that, Ted.
I think that's interesting, food for thought. And that's, of course, what we give you here in this segment of the Phil Hendry program, sponsored by Ted's of Beverly Hills. And tonight, I really have, if you don't mind, Phil.
Go ahead.
Because I heard the lady that you had on, Ms. Gray, talking about her. She's a little out there, isn't she?
What are you going to do? Margaret's an artist, you know.
All right. Story here, most people can't talk on a cell phone and drive safely. Now, we've had this cell phone, can you drive safely, cell phone, can you not drive safely, cell phone? And we've heard this, and we have said, uh-huh, we've nodded our heads, and they've passed laws, and we have dutifully gone along with the Obama administration and this slow stripping away of our rights. As citizens,
you're not going to hang that on Obama. I mean, that's been something.
Phil, I don't want to get into an argument. You and I we're just opposed when it comes to Obama. You and I are on opposite sides of the street.
No, I understand that, but are you really honestly hanging the cell phone thing on Obama?
All I know is this: I'm a businessman, and we've got millions of business people across this country. I am, thank God, you know, knock wood, I'm a successful businessman. But I'm telling you, this guy in the White House is making it harder and harder to do business. And if you're a businessman like me, and I know there's billions of them listening to me right now, you are going from one end of the town to the next every single day trying to make a deal, trying to make a purchase, trying to make a sale, trying to put this idea together with another idea, and you're doing everything you can to keep this country from caving in. Now, one of the things when you're doing that is you're driving, and again, knock wood, I'm a successful man. I've got a great automobile. It is a high-performance vehicle. I love this car. It's a Mercedes. It is a McLaren Mercedes.
Boy, that is a that's a gorgeous automobile.
You better, it's 750 horsepower. How does that feel? Huh? You like that?
750 horse, huh?
That's right.
V8.
Everything, everything. And the reason why I have that car, Phil, is, as you know, we the Beverly Hills Automobile Association, which is a collection of guys that have HPV vehicles, who are successful business people, who are going from one end of this city to the next every day, trying to, you know, regenerate the economy. Now, I do that, and I do business on the cell phone as I'm doing that. It so happens, Phil, that I know how to operate a motor vehicle, a high-performance vehicle, in traffic, and hold a cell phone. I know how to do it all at the same time. I can't begin to tell you the time that is wasted, the energy that's wasted, fumbling with a headset or a Bluetooth or fumbling around with cords, and I find it insulting, on top of everything else, that someone says to me, and you... You know, Phil, I'm Ted Bell. I've had this steakhouse here for, you know, we're going on 30 years now.
I understand.
You understand. You understand it. Like you're saying, like I just told you, I have cancer. And
no, I know. I'm listening to you, Ted. Yes, you have owned the restaurant for almost 30 years, yes.
Yeah, and before that, my father. I'm Ted Bell. So you come up to me and you tell me I've got to do what? I've got to drive hands-free? I've got to use a phone that's hands-free? I don't do that. I don't need to do that. Now, I'm not asking for an exemption for every American. I'm asking for an exemption for a handful of business people in this country who are successful men, who have under their employ many thousands of people, who are doing business in all four corners of their city every day. They need to be able to get around. They need to be able to whip that phone out, turn it on, and use it while they're driving.
Well, you're talking about driving, though, with one hand, and that's exactly what the law in many, many states, if not all states now, I don't know, that's exactly what the law is trying to avoid, driving with one hand.
I understand that, and for most people, I understand that. For most people, I think that that is absolutely essential, if I could just go and say that. But for me, all right, I'm Ted Bell, and you know, there's another guy, his name may be Joe Smith, he's Joe Smith. I don't need that. I have a high-performance vehicle. It is a car that 750 horsepower. What do you tell me how that feels? Tell me how that how does that sit with you? 750 horse.
It's a lot of horse. It's a lot of horsepower. Yeah, for a beautiful car.
Well, the point that I'm making is that's going to get me where I want to go fast. I don't have time to fumble around with a Bluetooth. Everyone knows they sound horrible. You can't understand a word anyone's saying. I've got business I've got to do, and the business that I've got is the same business that business people across this country have, saving this country from Obama.
All right, well, Ted, what you've managed to do here, if you don't mind me saying, you have managed to take the cell phone issue and turn it into an Obama issue.
No, I'm not doing any such thing.
Well, that's what you're saying. You're saying that that you are racing around town trying to get business done so the economy doesn't slip further and further into the toilet, and that means you cannot use the... I don't understand why you can't use a hands-free cell phone.
I don't need to say to you, well, here's what. I'm saying to you simply this. I'm Ted Bell. I own a prominent business. I make a lot of money. I employ a lot of people. I don't want to use the hands-free cell phone. I want to use a cell phone that I can hold.
And that means you're driving with one hand.
Yes, and I'm driving with one hand because I know what I'm doing. I've got a high-performance Mercedes McLaren. You know, Burlwood, you're talking to me like you don't understand what I'm saying.
I understand that you are a car, you love automobiles, and God knows, Ted, you've had some beautiful ones, and I get it. And the Mercedes McLaren is a gorgeous automobile. I am not quite understanding how you can control a car better in traffic.
Look, are you asking me, if I've got a car like that with 750 horse at the wheel, and I don't know how to control that? I don't buy a car like that. I'm Ted Bell. I don't know how many times I got...
I understand your Ted. Are you telling me, therefore, you know how to handle an automobile better because you're rich?
No, it's not because I'm rich, because I've had the money to buy cars like that, so I can maneuver through traffic very. I've got to get from my restaurant, Bill, to give an example, I got to get from my restaurant to the LA Athletic Club downtown. I am maneuvering through traffic down Wilshire Boulevard. I am slipping in and slipping out of different lanes of traffic. I'm moving, and when people see me go by, they understand that that's a businessman. He's got to get where he's going. And when they see me go by not using a hands-free cell phone but holding onto the cell phone with one hand and the wheel with the other, they are saying, there goes a man who, thank God, exists because he employs people. Back out of my way. And what's happening here is Obama's getting in my way. Getting in my way.
Obama's getting in your way by making you use a cell phone that's hands-free?
No. But that's all part of the same package. Obama is getting... I got things to do and places to go and people to see, and there he is. Every time I turn around, there's Obama. Every time I look in my rearview mirror, there's Obama. When I look in a side mirror, there's Obama. When I pick up a phone and I got to use it hands-free, there's Obama. And all I'm trying to do, along with a great many other men and women of this country, is to get this country on its feet again.
All right, Ted Bell with us here on the Phil Hendry Show, and we'll take a break, Ted.
Sure. I want to know what the people think out there, because I think people should obviously use hands-free cell phone. But in my case is what I'm talking about.
In your case and in the case of a lot of other businessmen.
Absolutely.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills talking about, for him and for a handful of successful businessmen who are trying to get business done, they need to be able to get in their car, pick up their phone, use it while they're driving with one hand. Because, you know, they got business to attend to save this country from Obama, as he put it. Your thoughts, 877-876-PHIL. Should a handful of business people with high-performance vehicles and successful businesses be allowed to use cell phones by holding it with the hand and driving with the other hand? 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Well, what that could be forever, man. What are you doing?
Phil Hendry.
God.
This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come on down.
Come on down to Ted's of Beverly Hills. I think there's a lot of people may not understand what it is I'm saying. Come on down, let's have a Ted. I'll tell you why I need to use that cell phone. I'm in traffic. I'm trying to help you. I'm Ted Bell.
We want to put our meat in your buried? Mouth.
Hold on for a minute, Ted. You know, we're on the air, so when you asked me, did that get buried?
When I said I'm Ted Bell, I think it got buried.
When you said Ted Bell, no, it did not.
Well, I think I'm Ted Bell. Got buried by the commercial. I wanted to say that.
All right. Ted Bell joins us from Ted's of Beverly Hills, sponsoring this segment of the program. We're talking about your need, Ted, and you feel the need of a select few. How many businessmen are we talking about?
Well, across the country, I think we've probably got a cadre of a couple of thousand men who really do a lot of business. And the business that they do keeps millions employed. And if you're telling that guy, okay, when you get into your car and you're going over to a business meeting, you have to put on a headset and look like, forgive me, Phil, but look like one of the people that drool when they have them in a psychiatric drool. I don't know the term.
You talking about schizophrenic?
Yeah, schizophrenic. You know, when you look like you're talking to yourself and a guy walks up to you in the corner, like happened to me a couple of years ago. I was waiting for Marcy and my son and Josh. We were going to go to that. Go to a movie, and the guy walks up to me and says, oh, you poor, you know, blankety blank blank blank. I mean, he used MS. And I said, what do you, he thought I was a schizophrenic. I can't do that. I can't do it. And there are a lot of businessmen that can't do that.
Everybody else has got to use a cell phone that's hands-free.
Oh, Phil, stop with the oh, poor me, all right?
No, it's not oh, poor me, but you, Ted Bell, you can use one with one hand because you're on your way to big business deals.
You know, it's frustrating to talk to a guy who doesn't really get the universe that I operate in. And it's not that...
Oh, yeah, I get it, Ted.
No, I'm not being all holier and mightier than thou, but I'm trying to tell you, I'm trying, along with a lot of other guys, to save this country from this guy Obama, who's sticking a knife right through it. He's putting a knife in it, turning it, and breaking it off, and then having a laugh.
I couldn't disagree more. 877-876-PHIL is the number here on the Phil Hendry Show. Let's go down here to Jermaine in Mobile, Alabama. Jermaine, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Ted Bell. Go ahead, sir.
Yes. I would like to make a comment on the Mr. Bell, what Mr. Bell
yes.
said.
Ted Bell here. Yeah, Ted Bell here.
First, we know who you are. We heard you three times.
Well, you wanted to know.
You make this. I'm you here. Make this comment that all business, successful business people, should have a cell phone and should be exempt. You're missing some things.
Listen, you didn't say the whole thought. Let me get my point across.
You haven't heard what I have to say. When you drive with one hand, you got to be aware of other people around you. That's just like if you're getting in the car behind the wheel, you're drunk. When you get out there and you're drunk, you're not aware of the people that are around you because that alcohol has messed up your sense of judgment. So you cannot say that all business people successful business people should have the right to have a cell phone. If you're going to do business, you need to do it before you get in the car.
I drive a Mercedes McLaren. I got 750 horses at the wheel.
I heard that.
We know about that, Ted.
Yeah, but that I am able to operate that.
You can have a horse
I'm able to operate that. Let me ask you a question, Jermaine. What's a flambé? You know what a flambé is?
What's a flambé?
You know, yes. What is that?
That's something you eat. Some food.
That you get on fire.
Well, you know,
I heard your wife say
somebody is set on fire and it isn't.
Wait a minute, his wife.
That's
I heard the lady.
Wife.
She said,
"I'm not married."
She said,
"Thank you."
Well,
I'm not married.
Your boyfriend? Well, is that a man or what is that?
No, this is my cousin. It's my cousin.
You're dating your cousin. Wow.
He didn't say that, did he?
Listen, Ted, Mr. Bell of Beverly Hills.
No, but your cousin said.
Do you remember the news?
Flambé is a guy who set on fire.
Do you remember the news when the locomotive engineer was texting? Do you remember all those people he killed?
What?
Think about that.
Think about all the family members.
It was the guy in Glendale who was texting.
Oh, that guy. I'm not talking about driving a train. I'm talking about driving a Mercedes McLaren with
burned
wood.
Because you on the highway, you're going to kill people just as this guy killed people on the train.
Ted, I think the question needs to be answered here. This gentleman is saying what a lot of people are going to say. What makes you a better driver than these other people?
What makes me a better driver is simply this. I have experience using the power steering. I can drive 750 horse with one finger, okay, and use my phone.
I can whip
in and out of traffic with one finger. What happened to him? Did his cousin just all of a sudden get friendly? Are you all right?
No, you saying something.
I heard you go, like that, like somebody
speaking
of a finger.
Go ahead, Jermaine.
Listen, you're not getting the point. It's like every time you come on here, you're saying something. And you're not getting the point. You're putting your foot in your mouth.
I'm trying to save this country.
Yeah, we heard that.
No. Hold on. One man cannot save this country. The only person
I am trying to help this country.
Lord God. Remember that.
The Lord God. Who?
The Lord God is.
He said the Lord God.
Is the only person that can save this country. This
the Lord Snoop Dogg.
Not Ted Bell, not me, not Mr. Henry, President Obama.
And not the Lord Snoop Dogg, which is what you just said.
He said the Lord God.
I said God.
Well,
words in my mouth, okay?
Well, it's not
sounded that way to me.
Like that.
Now, I'm not talking about that. You said
now,
the word Snoop Dogg.
No, he didn't. Now,
no,
Ted,
I did not say
again,
Lord
what's
Snoop Dogg.
The, what's
the, now,
I said that one. Well, I thought you said the Lord Snoop or something. The one
no,
finger. All
Lord,
I'm saying is.
Lord.
Gora? What is that? Something out of Ghostbusters?
Wait a minute.
I
the Lord God.
All right.
I said Gora. G-O-D.
I understand. I understand.
G-O-D.
If I'm driving a car with one finger, do you think I'm a good driver? Yes.
No. No. I don't care how much experience. No, no.
Are you insane?
I don't care how much experience you have. You cannot drive no car with no one finger. Come on, man.
Well, I've done it.
I am able to drive a car with one finger.
I don't even know.
Hold on. 877-876-PHIL.
What happened?
Phil Hendry. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
Well, I got a Ted's in Beverly Hills. We have got some of the most delicious prime rib all day roasted, and of course we got that porterhouse for two, $85.
Here at Ted's,
you're in Beverly Hills.
You want to put our meat in your mouth.
Ted's of Beverly Hills in Beverly Hills, and Ted Bell joining us. A couple of questions as we talk to Ted here about the economy and about the hands-free law on cell phones. You're saying there's a handful of businessmen in this country who should be allowed to drive while holding onto a cell phone because they are doing business.
If people don't understand the concept that a business, look, in California, in Washington, D.C., in New York, they all have laws outlawing handheld phones while driving. Take a look at the economy. Where is the economy centrally located in this country other than, you know, in your hometown? It's in Washington. It's in New York. It's out here in California. This is where the business gets done. And
we got a lot of people saying that you could get into a very serious accident driving with one hand, 750 horse, you know.
You know what, though? I don't live my life on what maybe is going to happen, what could be, should be, maybe, you know. I live my life on what deal I'm going to close. How many people am I going to keep employed today? What deal can I do? What business can I do? Is my tie on straight? Are my teeth brushed? Is my breath good? You know, you walk in, and I learned this because my father went down this way. You walk in with Gordon's gin on your breath, and you breathe that into one of these, and I'll say this with all due respect because I do a lot of business with these, the ones Japanese, okay?
Yeah.
You walk in and breathe some of that Gordon's gin on one of them, and they give you that so, and it's over.
Boy, are we getting a little racist here?
I beg your pardon. I do a lot of business with Japanese business people. They are some of my best friends.
Well, what's with the so?
I'm telling you. You breathe some of that Gordon's gin on them because what they expect, if you're going to be drinking at all, they want the smell of rice wine.
Sake.
Just forget about calling it sake because it's an insult when you try to pronounce a Japanese word. Do they just want you to call it what you'd use, rice wine?
877-876-PHIL. Ted Bell talking about driving without a hands-free cell phone. He is Ted Bell. He and several other businessmen do a lot of business. Here's Julie in Knoxville, Tennessee. Julie, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Ted Bell.
What was that comment supposed to mean?
What?
He and a bunch of other guys do business.
Well, you sound, Ted, like you're entitled.
I'm not entitled.
So everybody's...
I've got a caller on the line here. Go ahead, Julie.
So everybody's entitled that owns a business to take talk on a cell phone without a hands-free.
No. Not everybody. No.
That's what you're
only
saying.
Those of us.
Okay.
Those of us who employ a lot of people and who are responsible for a great deal of money flowing through this economy, I got to get from L.A. all the way down to the L.A. Athletic Club. You got to go from L.A. Where?
I drive all over the United States.
Well, You drive all over the United States.
I got to find out. Now I deliver. fight for the United States.
I'm making deals. I'm making multi-million dollar deals.
Yeah, I do too.
You do? No, you don't. Yeah. I make the kind of deal that keeps you employed. I make the kind of deal that decides whether you've got anything to take from one state to the next. That's what I do. I'm
well, I'm the limit. I have to call as well.
No, you don't.
I was a dispatcher. So,
no, you don't.
Yeah,
no.
You're the only one.
And the other thing is, how come you guys get to drive with one hand?
How do they get to drive with one hand?
They got that microphone, that CB microphone. No, you don't. You got the CB microphone, and you open up the microphone with one hand. Don't you hold the microphone with one hand? Yes, you do.
What microphone are you talking about?
The CB.
They don't have CBs anymore. They don't have CBs anymore.
I can't hear what you're saying, Phil, because, that's the lady talking. So you don't have a CB in your truck?
I don't have a CB. No, sir.
Well, that proves you're not doing the kind of business I do. I'm in communication constantly with people. Now, you know, out there driving a truck, you know that when you see a Mercedes McLaren come by, you know the guy that's driving that is a guy that's got money, don't you?
Yeah,
don't you?
If he's driving fast, he's not taking care of his equipment. He's also, excuse my French, an idiot.
Taking care of his equipment?
Yes. If you want to drive your vehicle, you drive it with pride. You don't sit there.
Absolutely, I drive it with pride.
Traffic.
Because
you don't sit there weaving in and out of traffic with one hand glued to.
Man, Julie, if I got to get across town, so that Julie has another load of moo cow creamers to deliver between restaurants, then that's what I got to do. Otherwise, you don't have a shipment and you don't work that week.
Well, what does that mean, moo cow creamers?
Well, whatever it is she's calling. Moccasins, I don't know.
Well, what do you got to put? What she does?
She's putting down my job. I'm telling you, I got to go across town driving
with one finger. You got to go across.
Call this one finger.
You're going across town. You're talking on a cell phone.
That's exactly right.
People. Why do you have to be around across town?
Because I'm going to a meeting. Are you serious? Why do you got to travel from one state to the next in your truck? You got business to do. You got places to go, and you got people to see. And Julie, I'm Ted Bell. Tell you what you do. I got one for Julie. Where's the bell?
What?
Where's the bell? Don't we ring a bell when I get a free? I'm giving you a free steak dinner. I want you to come out to California the next time you haul your moo cow creamers out here. And I'm just kidding about that. I don't know what it is. Free steak dinner on me, Ted to Beverly Hills. Your name's Julie. Yeah, it's Julie. All right. I think she passed out. She was so happy.
Maybe you have to get back to that gym so you could not be the person that takes care of the boot camp.
You know what she just said? Maybe I need to get back to gym so I can take beef. That, to me, is crude.
No, Julie, thank you so much for your call. That lady is a trucker. She is working to hauling freight and other things across the country.
Yeah, right. She's hauling freight, and she keeps making fun of me. I'm the guy that keeps that truck loaded. I'm the guy that slides that meat into the background. I can't. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to Elizabeth, listening to us in Detroit tonight. Hello, Elizabeth. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Ted Bell.
I can't believe what I'm hearing from you. How long have you been on this job?
I happen to be the owner of a steakhouse, Ted's of Beverly, on the job.
Yeah,
I'm not asking you about
your Mercedes. I could give a grab pass about your Mercedes. Here's the thing. You are driving on busy highways. There are all kinds of people passing you up, and you're telling them that they may not be as good on their cell phone as you are, and you're telling them, well, I see him not doing what he's supposed to do on that cell phone. Why should I obey any law? And you never did tell me how long you've been working this job. I'm calling it
a job
because you're saying you're trying to keep people
I'm the
working.
Owner,
well, how,
I'm
how
the owner
are
of a restaurant.
Number one,
and
how,
if I've got to kill somebody to get...
Stop interrupting. You know what you're asking people to do?
Wouldn't you sacrifice your life for the success of my business and other people?
What does that mean?
You are not doing what you're breaking the law, and you're teaching other people around you to do the same thing. That's very wrong.
I'm asking the law to be changed.
And another thing is, If you can't, what did you do before cell phones? That's why I'm asking you how long you've been doing this kind of work.
I had a mobile phone in my car, a radio telephone that only wealthy people had. That's what I'm trying to say.
You're always bragging about it. No, nobody cares about that. They're caring about
the antenna.
You doing the right thing.
Remember the antenna? You remember the antenna on the top of some cars? That was me.
Don't use your cell phone. Go back to what you were using before. And by the way, how did you ever get on this radio station?
That happens to what I was using before was a radio telephone with the antenna on the top of the car that you saw only wealthy men
had. Why don't you go back to it? And
because it's more expensive. Because it's easier just to have the phone.
I'm a Whig.
Tell you something else.
This is the first time I've...
You're a Whig? You're not a Republican? You're a Whig? What's that?
Listen, this is the first... Will you stop talking? You got a big problem. You don't know how to let other people talk.
She told you know
she what?
Was a wig, didn't
I,
no, she did
I'm
not say that.
I'm calling you because I'm awake and I don't feel good. And
she's awake.
I never talked
not
to
a wig.
Never
she's awake.
Before, and how
I am telling you now, Elizabeth.
How did you ever get
better.
Hired on this
It would
radio
be better
station?
For I'd have to say to you, ma'am, it would be better for you to die if more people could be employed.
What a terrible thing to say.
No, I didn't mean that.
You know what? It's, you don't even need that done. Job. You don't need that damn job. You, why don't you hug your Mercedes and give that job to somebody that needs it? You do not need it. You know
I
that?
Own the restaurant, you, and you, I keep those people employed.
All you're doing is sitting and telling everybody how big of a hotshot you are with your dang Mercedes.
Well, if that, I happen
and
to be going from one,
give
I'm weaving
that job
through traffic.
To somebody that needs it and go back to your other phone. What you
Can you drive
for
with
years.
One finger? Can you drive with one finger?
People,
no, you can't.
You're making other people break the law. They may not be as good at using a cell phone as you claim you
That's
are.
A good point.
And you
that's a good point, Elizabeth.
Doing it with one hand.
I'm doing it with one finger, and that's because I've got power
well,
steering.
Well, that's even worse.
That's worse? Not when I can weave through traffic.
You have two hands, so you can do things
you know
the right
I know
way.
You know what I think is the problem? You're jealous of me because I can drive with
I'm
one finger.
I'm not jealous
when,
at all.
When both your
I'm,
hands are paralyzed.
I'm telling you you're a jerk because you're not doing the right thing and you're teaching other people to break the law. Just
I'm not doing the right thing. I'm trying to keep Obama.
I'll tell you another thing. It's people like you that make our car insurance go up all the time because they keep breaking laws.
I am simply saying to you that if I can't drive with one finger, people die.
How do people die if you can't drive with one finger?
They don't have jobs. They starve to death.
You know what?
Yes.
You know what? You're supposed
gotcha.
To follow the law.
I got gotcha.
You. You're supposed to follow the law. You're not.
I am asking that the
exception.
Law be changed.
No, you think you're
Ted.
An exception to the law, and you're not. You're
Ted,
not better than
are you
FBI.
Doing this?
I want the law to be changed so that myself and five other
well,
guys I know.
Don't go on the radio station and blame it on our president. He's not. He's not telling you. You know that you. He's telling you what you should do. That's right. And you should not be telling
me what to do. That's right.
Go ahead and break the law.
Barack,
and you know what?
Wait a minute. Barack Obama never ordered. He never ordered one steak from Kansas City, as far as I know. Barack Obama never helped.
Why don't you go over to work for Fox News or one of those idiotic people? Most of these Republicans are not worth a powder to blow to hell. And you sound
you
just like
said?
One of them.
What'd she
I
say?
Don't know why we're even on this station. When I was
let me tell you something. Thank God for Fox News because they tell the truth about how
See,
Obama is
right.
making
that's,
me go out and drive
why,
with one finger.
That's why you don't sound like you're supporting our president.
Yeah. And the president is working.
So
and you come on here and
I support the president. I'd support the president if he didn't make me drive while holding a cell phone. I have to do that
well,
because he's
run
the economy.
You know what? You're one of those people that you think you should do just what you want to do, not what you don't want
to
obey the law.
I have to do what's going to help this country. I got to get from a Tea Party meeting in Burbank.
I don't care
all the way
if you got to go. I don't care if you got to go to hell and back. Do what's right. Obey the law.
I'm doing what's right.
People
that absolutely doing
it. On a highway. You know what?
I'm only asking for the right.
Can't you understand that you are telling other people that may not be that great at using a cell phone, and you are telling them that it's okay because you're doing it, they're going to do it. No,
I'm not saying that. I'm saying
you
and only five other guys.
The only reason I tuned you in is because I don't feel good. And I'm going to tell you something. Is when I get off this phone,
good
I'm going to shut my radio off, and I will never, ever listen to you again because you are
a
stupid idiot.
I demand that you listen to me again. I demand that you listen to me because I'm the only one that's,
She hung up.
Yeah. That is so wrong and so unfair because she said that she was going to go over and close the lid on her toilet. I forget what she said.
She said she was going over to turn the radio off, and that she was the only reason why she was listening to us tonight is that she was awake.
Yeah, she said she was awake.
She didn't say she's a wig. She said she's awake. Awake.
Well, I thought she was confusing it. And for her to say to me some of the things she said.
Like what?
I forget.
877-877-876-PHIL. We'll be back. Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills on his entitlement to drive with one hand on the wheel, one hand on the cell phone, because he's got places to go and people to see. This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
For Phil Hendry to stand by while I was assaulted and violated
here
by the...
Okay.
Ted, that's...
Well, it happened, Phil.
I don't think it's fair. I think that lady...
And I have to make that statement in my commercial because I don't know whether I'm going to be given the opportunity to say it. You stood by while I was repeatedly violated.
No, Ted, that woman was very, she was amped up and angry that the perception she has...
Wait, right there, Keith, that's right. The perception she has, is it the truth?
Well, the truth is that you want the law changed for a handful of people to drive while holding the cell phone in their hand and the wheel in the other because you are wealthy men of industry and you keep people employed and you've got places to go and people to see.
Yeah, so far you're doing great.
Because Obama's wrecking the country.
There you go, Phil. And you know what? I know you voted for Obama. Good for you. This guy, as long as his economic policies continue to destroy this country, guys like me and other guys out there listening right now, and they know who they are, we're the guys that do the purchasing, we're the guys that do the hiring, we're the guys that are trying to hold this thing together with spit and glue while Obama's out there having himself, he's out playing Yahtzee. With the economy. He's out playing Yahtzee with the most powerful country in the world. He's taking the most powerful military in the world with the largest nuclear arsenal, and he's playing go to the head of the class and Yahtzee.
What are you talking about?
You know what I'm talking about.
No, I don't. Talking about the guy being so frivolous? You may not agree with him politically, man, but that's a far cry from saying the man is frivolous. Here is Tom in Syracuse, New York. Tom, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Ted Bell. Go ahead, sir.
Yes. Hey, Ted, how do you seem to feel that you're entitled because you're Ted Bell and you drive a Mercedes McLaren and it's 750 horse and you're so important? You know what? You ain't that entitled and your five other buddies, you ain't that important to the workings of this country, to go out and jeopardize people on the road. I come from a stock car family. Okay? None of them feel entitled.
Have you ever gone to Grand Prix racing?
They would not think of going out on the road and taking away their concentration, even though they have the ability. They might probably have more ability than you. Your arrogance is just extruding.
I wish that I didn't have to be arrogant. I wish I could just be like you, but I can't.
You come off so arrogant.
I employ people, and I've got to get out and get this business done. Now, you and your stock car friends, if you got some moonshine to haul, it's good for you.
Well, what does that mean?
Well, I'm making a joke.
What does that mean?
Isn't that the way the stock car guys got started?
They
were hauling some of that white lightning over the mountains, right?
Back in the 40s.
All right. There you go.
But your arrogance extrudes from your pores. You are not entitled no more than anybody else in this country. You feel that you're entitled, that you don't have to obey a law.
Yes, sir. I'm not saying I'm better than you. I'm just saying that when I'm on the road, I'd like you to get out of the way.
No, wait a minute, Ted. Say that again. Say that again. I want to hear what you said, Ted.
I said, I don't think I'm better than this guy. When I'm on the road, I would rather he get out of my way so I can get some business done.
What makes you think this gentleman doesn't have business to do?
He just said he wears a Bluetooth. Right?
I wear a Bluetooth. Because
okay, that means he couldn't possibly
have I'm on the road, too. I'm on the road,
he's
too. I don't want to have a knucklehead that's ramming up my butt and going to get me in an accident because you're so important to get somewhere. Well, I'm in a family business. I have places to go, but I do it in a safe manner. I use a Bluetooth. They work great, and I got both my hands on the wheel.
They may work great, but you're tooling along with your hands at 10 and 2, and I am. And I know the kind of guy I see. You're there with your hands at 10 and 2 o'clock, and I'm going, come on, will you step on it? And you never do that.
Well, if you want to go to the race, you want to go to the racetrack, there's a time and a place to be like that and to speak. You want to go to the
racetrack?
Oh, I
don't want to go to that. Are you talking about going to the stock car races where they don't change those outhouses out for 40?
The highway is not a racetrack. You're a hazard out there. You're no better than
I'm not a hazard.
Behind a wheel.
All right, fine. You know what I'll do? I'll drive the way you drive, and guess what happens? The next steak you eat at a steakhouse, it'll taste like a cadaver. Like human flesh.
I
eat nice Kobe steak. I don't know about you, but I eat nice Kobe steak.
You heard of Kobe steak? You and about a half a dozen women.
Okay, that's enough of that. 87, so thank you very much, sir, for your call. Kobe steak is actually a very good Japanese steak. What are you looking at?
Yes, sir.
877, you and a half a dozen. 877-876-Phil. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.